campus, go ahead and have a seat. Happy Sunday. Yeah. It's so great to be with you. Shout out to our online family that is watching. Can we make some noise for the online church watching? What a great Sunday. We've got the Browns playing today. I thought it was going to be a little bit more exciting than that. Okay, this next one's good. We've got Better Together Sunday. This is, yeah. Better Together is such a good Sunday to get connected into the church. We believe life really is better together, and we have so many amazing life groups happening. So these are groups that meet throughout the week, and they grow in their faith. They learn more about God. So we've got life groups for women. We've got life groups for young adults. I don't know the cutoff age for these young adult groups, but I think I'd still fit in there. That was a big laugh. But yeah, we encourage you. We have care groups. These are groups that want to make sure you're healthy. If you are going through a season of life where you maybe have found out that you have cancer or someone in your family has cancer, we have a group that gets together and they support one another. If you are brand new to the church, we want to say welcome. We're so glad you have found your way to Christ Church. We actually have a Connect class that is happening. This is a 6-week class where you get to find out more about who we are as a church and who God says that you are. You get to take a spiritual gift class and build an awesome bond with people that are new in the church. How's everyone doing this new season? Teachers, students, are we surviving? Everybody doing good? Yeah, same. Same. But man, we are going into a brand new season, and that means we've got some really cool things coming up. So we are relaunching our Thursday services. This means that our church is growing. This is such a blessing, and we want to serve you well. We want to do ministry well. So we're launching our third service, and we want to invite you to be all in with us. Would you join us and see what God's going to do? So you can help us by serving on a Thursday team. You can commit to making Thursday services your home service. This will save space on a Sunday, and it'll help us do church really well. God's gifted you. Would you use those gifts? You could also be all in by giving. If God has blessed you financially, would you consider giving to our building fund so we can get that new building so much sooner and do all the good things that God's calling us to do at West Campus? If that has been on your heart, if you are interested, we have a little flyer. I encourage you to take it, pray over it, think about it. I'd love to answer any questions. Chet would be happy to answer those questions too. But make sure before you leave, you get a bagel, check out those groups, and be all in with us because life is so much better together. If you would now please stand and say hi to the people around you.
Hey, good morning, Christ Church.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to see you all. Happy Better Together Sunday. As Tina said, lots of great ways to connect. That's what today is all about. It's about doing life together, not doing it alone. We need each other. God calls us to do this thing as a team. And as Tina said, if you are newer to Christ Church or you've been coming, but you want to take the next step, the Connect class is the place to go. So make sure you go in the back, sign up for that. That's kicking off. It's going to be a great, great class, and you'll get a lot out of it. But today I'm pumped because we're starting a new sermon series. You're not excited. That's okay. I said maybe you'll get there. But we're going to talk about the book of Galatians, and this is going to be such an important book to understand and to think about in our life. And if you are looking to build the habit of reading the Bible, maybe that's been something on your heart to do, for these next 6 weeks, we're going to go through the book of Galatians. It's only six chapters. So if you commit to reading like just a couple verses a day, you can read the whole book with us over 6 weeks. It'll be a great starting point to building that habit. So definitely consider it. It's going to be a good time. But let me pray and we'll get right into it. Father, we love you. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you bring good people in our life, that we're here because we're meant to be a body, to walk through the highs and lows of life together, to serve each other, to bless each other. Lord, help us to do that. And Father, today, help us to see just the power, the beauty, the wonder of the gospel. And Lord, I pray where our lives might be lacking some grace today, I pray you could refill us. And there could be a clean and healthy fuel that we are living from today. So help us in this, and I ask this all in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had an old car that I was just trying to keep going for as long as possible. And toward the end of its life, I noticed that it was just burning through oil at a really fast rate. You ever have a car like that? And, but you know, it was paid off. It was all good. So I'm like, I want this thing to last till Jesus returns. The goal was not accomplished, but it wasn't for lack of effort. And so as it was kind of getting to its later stages, I had to keep checking the oil, you know, much more than is normal. And I had to keep filling it up. Because it was just burning through it. And you know, when a car, I'm not a mechanic here, but when a car doesn't have oil, bad things happen, right? So you gotta keep it full and keep, right, Bob? Yeah. You know, we're car nuts here. Just a couple of car nuts. but it needs that to work properly. But mine needed constantly refilled. And today, as we start the study in Galatians, we're going to talk about this idea of grace, of God's grace, because this book of Galatians is all how God's grace comes into our life through the gospel. And I'll explain more of what this means. But grace is like oil to our souls. Your soul can't be healthy without it. But like my car, we tend to burn through it. And we need constantly refilled in it if our lives, our souls, are going to be healthy. And if you've ever met like a really nasty Christian, the problem is they were super low on grace. It was out of it. And there's times where that happens to all of us. And so I want to talk today about how we can refill and how we can constantly refill on this. So we're going to begin Galatians chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses to you, and then we'll work through these. Here's how it begins. Paul. Now, Paul is the one who wrote this. He wrote a lot of books in our New Testament, and he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. So Paul says, hey, I'm Paul, and I'm called by God. What I'm writing to you is not just my own ideas, but this is God's calling on my life, God's directive on my life, and he's writing to the churches in Galatia. Now, Galatia is a region, and today it's the region of southern Turkey, which I hear is really nice this time of year. Just kidding. I don't know if that's true or not. But the region of Galatia, it's a bunch of cities, and Paul was writing to all these collective cities and the churches within them. So it'd kind of be like if Paul today wrote a letter to Northeast Ohio. That'd include a lot of cities and a lot of churches, and that's what this book is. So it has this broad audience here. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have a copy of the Bible, just circle those words, grace and peace. Because in some ways, they summarize everything that this whole letter is about. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, this is where this letter gets really interesting. Because Paul now, this has all sounded very nice, hasn't it? Sounded very pleasant, very pastoral. Well, now Paul is going to come in hot. You know what that means? He's going to come in with some anger and intensity. And this is not how Paul usually comes in. So you're going to see that what Paul is talking about, it is emotional. It is visceral to him. He's so worked up about this because this issue is that incredibly important. And here's what he says. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him. Now, who is him here? Him is God. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting God, who called you in the grace of Christ, and turning to a different gospel. Married people, has your spouse ever said to you, "You are unbelievable"? That was not a compliment, was it? has anyone in your life looked at you and said, "You got to be kidding me"? And you didn't tell a joke before they said that? This is what Paul's saying here. He's saying, Galatians, you are unbelievable. Usually when someone says, "You amaze me," usually that's not a compliment. And this is what Paul is saying. This is unbelievable. I cannot believe this. And he says, you are deserting God. Now look closely at this text. He says, and here's how you are deserting God. You're turning to a different gospel. Now, this is going to be the heart of this letter here. Paul's going to say, when you turn to a different gospel, you actually turn away from God. That there is only one way to be in a healthy and meaningful relationship with God, and that is to receive his grace through the true gospel. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Verse 7, he says, not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Again, Paul is not happy right now. He is fired up. He says, if anyone tries to give you another gospel, let them be accursed. And again, this is really intense language. He says, as I say again, now I said before, if anyone's preaching you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Hey, just in case you didn't hear me the first time, let me make sure you really hear me the second time. For am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I'd have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there is so much in these verses, but I want you to first see this overarching theme. And it's this theme of grace. Paul says you're turning from grace, you're turning from God by turning away from the gospel. Now, grace is the thing that you and I need the most. Grace is the thing that makes our souls healthy and weeds out all that is unhealthy. I never thought, when I was younger, I never thought I would be a person who cared about what their lawn looks like. I never thought, I was like, oh, that is so silly. But I got to tell you, I care now. And I don't know what happened. I don't know why that happens, but it happened to me. And so every year, you know, I do weed and feed on my lawn. I know these are toxic elements killing everything, but they do make my lawn look good. And when you apply weed and feed, it ideally kills the weeds and nasty stuff in your lawn, but then it makes the lawn look green and healthy and nice. And when the nasty weeds are gone and the lawn is green and healthy and nice, I feel happy. And there's a sense that grace is like the weed and feed of your soul. Can I go there? It looks green and healthy, and the Lord is happy to see it. But thankfully, grace is not toxic. It's pure. And it heals. I think I've stretched that analogy far enough. Let's move on. But grace is what we need. So when Paul opens this letter, he says, grace to you and peace. Now, what grace does ultimately is it brings peace in every way. And when you look at your life today, where there is a lack of peace, there is often a lack of grace. So if you look in your own heart and you have a lot of inner turmoil in there, maybe there's just some deep insecurity. There's just some ugliness that is kind of very loud and very influential, that what our heart needs is grace. It is an experience of God's undeserved love working in our souls. And what does that create? It creates peace, inner peace. It creates a sense of well-being, a sense of rest and not angst. When we look at maybe some of our relationships in life, and maybe there's some fractured or hurt relationships right now as we come to this room, do you know what those relationships probably need if there's a lack of peace in them? Probably need grace, the grace to forgive, the grace to act with mercy and patience, the grace to reconcile, the grace to love each other in better ways. Where there is a lack of peace, there is often a need for grace. And grace is the thing that we all need in all these different areas of our life. And here's what Paul says. It comes through the gospel. Now, gospel, it's this word that literally means good news. It is the good news of what God has done for you and for me through Jesus Christ. And knowing that and receiving that and holding that in our hearts is how we experience, how grace begins to fill our lives. You with me on this so far? And so I want to just share three things about the gospel today from this. I want to talk about the source here of it. I want to talk about the substance, and I want to talk about the big problem that's in the book of Galatians. So the source, the substance, and the problem. Now, Paul makes it very clear that the source of the gospel is not himself. He says, I'm not called by man. And then when he talks about the message of the gospel, he says, I have not received it from anyone. And I think this is so insightful, because many times our first approach to figuring out spirituality is to looking inward. And we kind of say things like, you know, well, do what's right, follow your heart. But what the Bible says is that always leads to disaster. Believe it or not, it's not a good strategy. And Paul says, ultimately, what I know about God is not just my own speculation. You don't want to build your spiritual life on your own speculation. You want a stronger foundation than that. But Paul says it's also not the speculation of other people. See, I've read and studied a lot of philosophy. I like to torture myself. That's why I've done that. I'm actually truly interested in it. It's fascinating to me. I enjoy it. I'm a nerd at heart. And I've read all the most brilliant thinkers in the world throughout human history. And you know what? They all disagree. Isn't that interesting? They're brilliant ideas, but one guy's, his idea's over here, another's over here. They're great minds, interesting thoughts, but at the end of the day, it's everybody's best guess. You with me? And Paul says the gospel is not that. He says it's not from me and it's not from other people. That's not the source of it. And then he also says this. He says, even if an angel of God should preach to you a different gospel, don't listen to it. Now, Paul did not know how prophetic he was being in saying that, because some of the world's biggest religions actually make that claim. Islam claims that about 600 years after the letter of Galatians, that Muhammad received another gospel from an angel. Mormonism makes that claim. But these are gospels different from what Paul says. And so Paul says, hey, I don't care if it's an angel. I don't care who it is. If it's different than this, it's not the real gospel. He says, the gospel that I share with you, it comes from God himself. See, every other religion, this is what makes Christianity very unique. Every other religion is speculation, or it's from an angel. It's us trying to figure God out or hear about God through someone else. But here's what Christianity is. It's God revealing himself. It's God saying, you can't know me. You can't figure your way out to me. So I'm going to come down to you and share with you who I really am. And Paul says, that's the source of this. And that's why we have to take this message so seriously, because it's from God. And then he talks about the substance of it. And in those earlier verses, he talks about this idea that God has delivered us from the present evil age. And the word there, deliver, is actually just the word rescue. And the substance of the gospel, at the heart of the gospel, is this idea of rescue. My daughter, Emery, she's 5, and the last couple weeks, we love the lake. We love going there. And, you know, she kind of will wade in a little bit, but she's always a little bit nervous to go very deep. She can't swim yet or anything like that. But recently, she kept telling me, she said, Daddy, I want to go in the water, and I want to go deep. And I was, like, really proud of her. I was like, hey, way to go, you know, push through your fears. And I said, all right, well, one of these days when it gets warm again, we'll go and you can go in the water and you can go deep into the water. And so we did that on Thursday. It was awesome, yeah. And she went in, and she went in deep. She was very nervous, but she went in. And now I want you to imagine for a second that if she went in deep and then eventually she went so deep she couldn't touch. And imagine if she began to lose her footing and to get scared and overwhelmed. And imagine if I just kind of like from the shore was like, hey, Emery, just start, you know, doing this. Hey, no, bad technique, kid, you know. Start kicking your feet. And I just started shouting instruction to her. That would be a terrible thing, amen? If she's struggling, what do you do as a parent? You go in and you rescue her. You don't shout instruction. You go in and you pull them out. You hold them. Amen? I know that I'm talking very advanced material here, but that's what you do. Now here's what Paul is saying. Every other religion in the world is shouting instruction to you from the shore. Every other religion is saying, do this. Don't do this. Swim this way. Don't swim that way. Pray this way. But at the core of Christianity is God diving into the water and dragging you ashore. At the core of Christianity is God doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. Amen. See, you don't try to become a Christian. You just receive God's saving work. When someone is drowning, they're not trying to be saved, they just are. They just receive it. They're the beneficiary of it. And this is what Paul's saying. God is the great rescuer. Being a Christian is not just looking at Jesus and saying, oh, he's a wise teacher. He's got some good ideas. Yes, that's true. But he's infinitely more than that. We are helpless without him. We are lost. And Paul says that Christ, he died for us. He delivers us for our sins. That Christ, when he went to the cross and he died, he stood in your place. He didn't just give you a clean slate and a second chance. But he cleared the path for all eternity for you. When Christ died, it's all your mistakes, all your failures, they're done once and for all. And then Paul says this really great line, which I love so much. He says that this was all done according to the will of our God and Father. Now, will there is really just the word for desire. That God desired to rescue you. God desired that all of it was done according to God's desire. Now, this is so powerful to me because it's another example that this is all built on the grace of God. God doesn't look at you and me and say, man, that girl's got a ton of potential. I should really get them on my team. They could help me out one day. No, God rescues you according to his good purpose. He doesn't look at us and say, because of all we're going to do for him, he's going to do this for us. No, he does this all for us because he wants to. Because it's his desire. And again, it's all an act of grace. So, what's the problem then with all that's happening in Galatians? Well, here's what the problem is. Paul says to this church, he says, you guys knew all this and you believed it. You believe that God rescued you. You believe that this was from God. You believe that this was real. You believe that this was the heart of God. You received his grace. But now you've moved away from that and you've turned to another gospel. Now, one way to think about this, I heard someone say recently, I thought it was a great way to talk about it. They said that grace could be defined as something for nothing. Something for nothing. Now, in your life, how often do you find something for nothing? When someone's like, hey, here's a free thing, you're like, yeah, right. Right? And you're like, where's the fine print? Where's the catch? Everybody's tried to pull one of these over on me. Where does the shoe drop? Amen. That's kind of how we're accustomed to life. And what grace is it's truly something for nothing. God does all of this for you. And you're like, well, what does God get out of it? Nothing from you. Tell you that. Sorry if that hurts your feelings, but that's the grace of God. It's something for nothing. Now, when you add anything to it, it's no longer grace. When you begin to say, well, I think God loves me, God helps me because, you know, I serve a lot. I do this thing for him. I do that thing. Whenever in your heart you begin to think that you and I have something to bring to the table, we actually end up turning away from the truth of the gospel without knowing it. See, today, if you think that your relationship with God is about what you can kind of do for him, and if you can do enough good for him, then he's going to help you, he's going to bless you, he's going to forgive you, Paul says, then you're not understanding grace. Do you know what we bring to the table is empty hands. What we bring to the table is helplessness. What we bring to the table is just complete dependence on God's grace. And as soon as we try to add something to it, the gospel gets messed up. See, these in Galatia, these people that Paul talked about, they were saying, yes, believe in Jesus, but you also have to do this religious ritual too. You have to, yes, believe in Jesus, trust in Jesus, but you have to do this little religious ritual as well. And that's what it means to be a real Christian. These other people, they believe in Jesus, but they didn't do the religious rituals, so they're not real Christians. Have you ever noticed in life that sometimes we do make interesting lines on what it means to be a real this or a real that? Remember, there was a guy in our church, he was telling me, he was a biker, really into riding his motorcycle, and he's like, you know, you're not a real biker unless you bike in the snow and rain. I'm not a biker, but I was like, that doesn't make sense to me, man. Why is that? How is that? I think you're a real biker if you have a bike. I don't know. And I just don't get the snow and the rain. But we do that, don't we? We draw these weird lines. You're not a real, and this is what was happening. Like, oh, you're not a real Christian unless you know the secret handshake. Unless you do these religious things. Oh, they're not. But Paul says, no. You're a real Christian if you trust Jesus Christ. Full stop. That's it. It's free. And as soon as you try to add something, you've distorted it. That word distort is actually the word reverse. It says they've reversed the gospel because there's an order that's very important. It's God's grace. It's God's love. It's God's forgiveness. And then we serve him. And then we try to love people. And then we become people who are slowly being transformed. But if you reverse that, if you say, well, let me clean up my act. And if I clean it up enough, maybe I'll get God's grace. You ever thought something like that? If I can kind of get these things squared away in my life, then I'll be ready to go to church. Then I'll be ready to serve God. Then maybe God will really love me. Paul says, you've reversed the gospel. The order matters. God's grace. Here's what you need to know today. God loves you. God has forgiven you in Christ. God fully accepts you. Nothing you can do can change that. God wants you just to fully receive that. And any change in your life is a change out of gratitude and out of wanting to please him, not a change to get what you already have. You with me on this? The gospel becomes reversed. And here's how you know the gospel is intact in your own heart. The gospel always magnifies the free grace of God. And I want you just to look in your heart because, like my car, grace burns through us. That's not the best way to say it. But grace leaks out of us. And it leaks out of our hearts. And one of the ways you can know that it's at work in you is by looking in your heart and saying, is the free grace of God magnified in my life? Here's what I mean. When you look at just the years of your life, the events of your life, do you look at those and do you have a sense that, man, God has been really merciful to me? Do you look at your life and you're like, man, it could have been so much worse if God didn't help me here and here and here and protect me here and here and bless me beyond what I deserve here and here. Do you have a sense of his mercy? Do you look at your life and do you have a sense of his kindness? God has been kind to me. Do you have a sense of his grace? God has treated me better than I deserve. Here's how I know grace is leaking from my heart, is when I look at my life and I, in the ugliness of my heart, I say, you know what, Lord? I think I deserve better. I think, Lord, God, you could do a little better. I'm guessing the only broken person here today. But I find that happens sometimes. And you know what that is? That's grace that is leaked out. When you look at other people, how do you see them? When do you magnify the free grace of God? Or when you look at someone and let's say they make a mistake and they mess up and they do something really bad or really stupid, do you just look at them with condemnation and self-righteousness, Or here's what a grace-filled heart does. It looks at them and it says, I want to restore them with a spirit of gentleness. When people in your family make mistakes, are you gentle? Or do you bring the hammer down? The people that you work with, do you have a spirit of gentleness or a spirit of judgment? Paul in Galatians 6 is going to tell us a spirit of gentleness is what grace produces. Because we look at others and we say, you know what? I've made mistakes too. I've messed up too. I've failed too. And God was gracious to me. I need to be that way to others. You with me on this, church? Grace, is it magnified in your heart today? It's hard to receive grace sometimes because all you can do is receive it. And I want to encourage you to do that this morning. We all probably could use a little more grace in our hearts today, amen? And I want you to go to God and just say, Lord, I'm coming to you and I have no leg to stand on. I have nothing to bring to the table. I've got no leverage here, but I'm just asking for grace. You know, that's the way you honor him, is believing he is that generous, that good, that filled, that abundant, that he'd freely give it to you. I went on a pastor's retreat years ago, and it was led by this guy named Bob Russell. He's an amazing guy who pastored in Louisville, Kentucky for like 40 years. And when we got to the retreat, it was like 5 or 6 pastors. It was completely free. We were staying in this beautiful, you know, retreat center in the woods. And the first day that we were there, we sat, you know, in this little circle, and Bob Russell came in. He said, all right, guys, he's like, we are going to bless you over the next 3 days. Like, we want to bless you. And we're going to do some really nice things for you. And the best way you can respond is just receive it. Is just receive it. And he said, that might be hard for some of you, but you're just, we're going to bless you. And you just receive it. And they did. They took us to Ruth Chris's steakhouse. Yeah. It was incredible. They did all kinds of, I love food. Guess that's like, they did these incredible things. They sent money home to give to our wives so they could go out and have it. I mean, they're just incredibly generous. And they said, the way to go through this is just to receive this. We want to bless you and you will honor us by just receiving it. And I'll tell you what, I got used to that really quick. It might have been a hard adjustment for some, but not for me. Said, hey, Bob, you mind if I order dessert? I will receive. But in truth, the way you honor God today is receiving from him. He's got grace. He wants to give to you today. The way you honor him is to receive it. Nothing to the table. Nothing to bring. You just receive and let your heart be filled. So as we pray, as we go into this last song, just take a moment in your heart and say, Lord, I want to receive your grace. I want to receive it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the true gospel, the good news that, Lord, you have delivered us. You have rescued us. Father, that because of your grace, there can be peace in our souls, peace in our relationships. We can look at the difficulties of life and the tragedies of life and the pain of life and so say, and it's well with my soul because of the Lord. Father, give us the blessings, the fruit of the gospel. Fill our hearts today with grace, Lord. Maybe there's some people in our life that we need to give some grace to. Help us to do that. Maybe we need just some grace for our own personal struggle. And Lord, I pray you'd fill us. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave here today, we could just magnify the free grace of Jesus Christ, and he could be glorified. Bless us in all this, in Jesus' name.